morning, Beverly Prescott, December 4, 2008.
Thank you so much for agreeing to participate in this project. It will surely benefit the community now and in the future. The goal of the questionnaire is to produce as detailed and coherent a narrative of your story as possible. In light of that, I encourage you to feel free not to worry about providing an answer that is too in-depth or too long. That is exactly what we want. Considering the time, we can play with that. I realize you have already signed the consent form, but I also want to let you know that you should feel free to tell me if there's any particular thing that you say during the course of your interview that you would prefer if we keep out of our educational exhibition or presentation materials, which will be created based on your interview. First question. Okay. Tell me about your place of birth and what was going on there as you were growing up. So where were you born and what do you remember about your early days there?
Okay. I was born in Gatun, former Canal Zone, and our roots there were West Indians. We were under the American system, and our families worked for the Americans. Okay, we are Panamanian, living and working with the Americans.
And what kind of work do you remember?
Okay, well, I remember the work on the locks. That was one of the main and the biggest place of employment. Industrial division. They had those that worked for the Army commissaries and Army motor transportation and different establishments for the Army. I grew up on the Canal Zone. I've never lived in Panama itself ever. I born and grow here in Panama, but I live always on the Canal Zone teaching. I went to school, Rainbow City Junior Senior High School, that's where I graduated. And I also became part of the job enforcement. I worked for the system under the U.S. government for a Coca-Cola commissary. I worked for Corozal commissary. I worked maintenance in Corozal also. I hold 27 years of working was with the American government.
Let's go back to your childhood. What was your childhood like? And what are your fondest memories from your childhood days?
Well, going to church. That was one of my... I always remember going to church, being part of all the plays, and looking forward to all the church festivities, the holidays that were linked with the church, and Easter, harvest, those were... And they're still...
Now, which church, where was the church, and describe one of those activities, maybe the Easter harvest, what was that like?
Okay, I went to church in Gatun, and this church, the name of this church was St. Mary's. Then I came to Rainbow City, and I went to St. Mary's Church also. Now, the church is now in Margarita, and we're on the St. Mary's St. Margaret's Church. Harvest for me and Easter are two big festivities in the church. I like Easter for the Easter parade, and the Mass is so different. I also like, I love harvest for the decoration. And I thank God that from I'm a child, I've been admiring and seeing the church decoration. I'm doing it now for years. And I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. What are those decorations like? And what was the parade like? What do people...
For harvest, what we do, we have all the different, like yam, yuca, all the native food. So we prepare it, yuca pong, we make banana bread. We use the things that come from the earth. And we prepare them and have them for Easter. And we have our Thanksgiving one time on that Sunday. turkey, or everything, pumpkin pies, name it. We also do a lot of decoration with the pans, from the coconut trees, and we decorate the church a whole lot. Then we have a lot of oranges hanging, we have a banana, a plant hanging in the church. We do a lot for harvest. We give thanks in a very big way.
Very good. Now, St. Mary's Church, let me just make sure, is that an Episcopalian church?
Episcopalian church, yeah.
All right. Nice. Now, tell me about your parents and your grandparents. Where were they from, and how did they come to be in Panama? So, where was your mother and your father born?
My mother and father were born in Gatun. They were born in Gatun, but my grandparents came from Barbados.
Your paternal grandparents?
Yes.
And what about your maternal?
My maternal also. They both came from Barbados.
Okay. And do you know how they came to Panama? Why specifically?
I can tell you about my maternal grandparents. My grandmother always tell me she came with her sisters. Her mother brought her here to Panama, and then she met my grandfather here in Panama because he came with the digging of the canal.
So your maternal grandfather was one of the diggers?
Yes, he was one of the diggers, and my paternal grandfather, he came from Barbados.
So what is or was your mother and father's profession?
My mother worked in the commissary. Also, she was a cashier. And my father, while he was here, he was a taxi driver. Then he went to the United States, and he was there for 52 years. And he had he had a liquor store. He had 5 liquor stores in Brooklyn.
Where in Brooklyn?
I don't know the addresses, you know.
Like which neighborhood in particular? Crown Heights or... I'm not sure about
the addresses, but I knew he had 5 liquor store while he was in. He was a liquor store sale distributor.
Businessman.
Yes, he was a businessman. Then, after he retired, he decided to open his own business. So he had 5 liquor stores in different sections of New York. I can't remember the addresses.
That's okay. Well, I know you told me your grandfathers were diggers. They worked in the construction of the canal. What about your grandmothers, paternal and maternal?
Okay, my grandmother worked at home. At that time, you know, they never used to leave home. They stay home and not take care of the children and the grandchildren. She worked at home, my grandma. She did a lot of laundry for soldiers, and they worked at home, both of them worked at home. My grandmother, paternal, she died early. But my maternal grandmother, yes, I lived with her. I grew up with her.
Do you remember stories she might have told you growing up from her own childhood or from her days in Barbados?
She told us a lot of stories, and she just used a lot of phrases and idioms and things like that. Do for do it, no good. And
okay.
He used to tell us a lot of things, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember any more idioms? What was the first one you said?
Do for do. Do for do.
What does that one mean?
Like it's... They hit you, hit you back. But you don't tell you plain. She said, go for do, ain't no problem. You know, she always, I remember always, go for do, ain't no problem. She saw a lot of things. I just tell them we were talking and I could, you know, we exchanged my cousin and myself.
Yeah. like if you misbehave or something like that, what would be her most common thing? You know, grandparents are always looking out like, oh, don't do that. Is there any particular thing that...
What she used to say all the time.
If you, yeah, exactly. Cool, right? Okay. Now, tell me about school. What was school like? And how and who were your teachers? What do you remember most about your time as a school kid? Do you have any favorite teachers that you remember?
Yes, I had favorite teachers while I was in Rainbow City High School at Alfredo Crogwell. Then he became the principal of the school. Espinola Lynch. Horace Parker. They were my English teachers in school and they did a very big job and I was very impressed about them. I always admired them. Then after I graduated from Rainbow City High School, I went to Nacional here. That was a former Rainbow City Junior High School. It's now the Universidad Nacional. And I met my teacher at that school, my favorite teacher was always named Yolanda Anderson. He did a whole lot for me and with me. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I really, really appreciate it. She's the one that got me here. I came here to defend my thesis. And I stayed 10 years ago.
Wow. Excellent. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of music did you grow up hearing? And who were your favorite singers and songs? Like
I listened a lot to Nat King Cole, Frankie Lyman, Aretha Franklin, and the church hymns.
Do you remember any particular lyrics that you can either sing or you want to share with us, or words that you remember? Okay, you don't sing. All right. Well, how about any particular phrases that you like from any of their songs? The favorite phrases from one of those songs, chorus lines, like that.
I remember when I was a little girl and a carnival season, we used to have the practicing right, you know, close by, and all it's Lemon Goose, your name gonna brush. You tell you the only water.
No. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always get people to sing a little bit, so that's good. That's good. Now, what music do you listen to now, and what are your favorite songs, and what is it you like about the songs you like today? Is it the same as before, or maybe newer, different?
Sorry, I don't really like the different things. No, some of them are not bad. Some of them... But the words and the things that they use. But I noticed lately that they're doing a better job. They're trying to keep obscene language out of it, and they're trying not to be offensive, like throwing words at other people in the song. That first I never paid much, but I'm noticing now, I've listened to quite a few of them on the radio, on the television, and I noticed that they're a bit more polished. And they're doing a better job, and they're trying to stick to the English language, proper English language. They're not rough like they were before. And they're not, the slangs are not offensive. They're doing a much better job now with those songs.
Any particular artists that you can think of that are doing that? Or
no, I just look at them when they're on television, or, you know, when... do that carnival season, or they have a promotion. I notice they're doing much better, and the behavior is much, much better. You know, I used to say, but gee, they shouldn't put that singer on television because what the children are going to think and what they're listening to. But I noticed that they're polishing it up. It's not like it was before. It never started out bad. They had good lyric singers, and then all of a sudden, I don't know where, It got out of hand. But I noticed something is going on now. They are doing much better. The vocabulary is much, much better. And they're not offensive as they were.
Okay,
the songs are more educational. They're trying to like encourage the youth to do better. And I admire them for that. I guess they saw the mistake and they're trying to. So, but I really don't get it much because I don't have the time to listen to the radio. I don't have the time to play the music, you know. And first, you never understood what they were singing. What language it was, but now they're really singing and talking. Some are still doing it. Because where I live, there's a reggae singer in the area out of the Kafu Banta. Sometimes I don't know what this is singing. You know? But I noticed that I should say, they're getting their act together.
Okay.
It's not what it was before. So I would not blame.
Yes.
You know?
Good. Okay, I'm going to come back to sayings. What are your favorite sayings, and where did you first hear them or learn them?
My sayings.
Sayings, like we were talking about your grandma.
Oh, yes, I heard from my grandmother, but I learned, but, you know, I could, every now and again, I may remember one or two, and I would say it, but, no, I can't.
If you remember any at all, you can just tell me whenever during the
interview. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to collect sayings also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a list of idioms that are very good. I could bring it for me tomorrow.
Well, I won't be here tomorrow, but I am coming back. You're going to be invited to a small reception we're having in 2 weeks. And if you can come for that, then it'll be great to see you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank
or I can also call you and we can talk about the protocol as well.
Uh-huh.
That'd be good. Okay. Have you ever heard of Louis?
I remember Gomez said tits for tat. When we hit first, she said tits for tat. I'll be called home crying. She said tits for tat. That means you hit, you get hit back.
Now, have you ever heard of Louise Bennett?
Yes, she was a very good singer.
Okay. What thoughts come to mind when you hear her name? Have you seen her perform or heard her perform?
She sings gospel songs.
Okay. Is this the same Louise Bennett? The one I'm asking about is a Jamaican who used to do poetry on the radio way back when. I think you could hear, I'm pretty sure some people say you could hear the show here, but it was kind of somewhat like a spoken word, I guess, colloquial, very colloquially spoken poetry. Is this the same person, or
no,
are you thinking of a singer?
No, of a singer that we had here in Panama by that name.
Ah, wow, okay, that's good to know, though.
And Dolores Bennett.
Okay. Gonna write her so we know.
Yeah, Dolores Bennett.
From Cologne?
Yes, she is from Cologne, Rainbow City also.
Oh, wow. And
I lived there here in Cologne, but I was never allowed to go to Cologne itself.
So,
I am Rainbow City, Camp Coiner, Camp Beard, Margarita. That
and why weren't you allowed to go into Cologne?
Well, we were. Not until after I graduated I could go to Cologne by myself. That was just a rules and regulation in the house.
Okay. I see. As a kid I could see.
Mm.
Do you, have you ever heard of the Mighty Sparrow?
Yes, I've heard about him.
Have you ever seen him perform? What do you remember about
him? Yes, I've seen shows, I've seen on television, I've gone to movies, and I saw him in the park in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I like his songs, very good. If you listen to them keenly, you learn something from them, and the things that he says so true. I compare him with the reggae singers. I don't know what language they speak, but I could understand his father very good because it had made sense and he spoke clear. And he did like they did. They would do. They're trying to like whatever is happening. They're trying to. But Sparrow would get to the point, time. Yes, all the time. Very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite Sparrow lyrics or songs that you remember that are particularly...
I always have one say, it's me, Sparrow. I always say, please come back to Sparrow. He has always been very good.
Yeah, and you've seen him perform in Panama as well?
Yeah, and I saw the movie.
Ah, which is the one for that movie?
I saw it on we had a tape, a friend had a tape, and he brought it.
When was it made? Do you remember when that movie was made?
No, I don't remember when that was made, but his wife was there, and yes, just the other day, I saw my friend at a tape.
And was it a movie about him, or was he in the movie?
He was in the movie. He did the singing.
Oh, wow.
It was very good, the music and everything. We got together, a friend, and she showed the tape.
And it was maybe from the 80s or from the 70s or more recently then?
I think more recently, because he's mature now and he's fatter and everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, did you ever play sports as a child?
Played a little baseball in school. That was about it.
Okay. Do you like watching sports, or do you play at all in any
extracurricular
type?
No.
Okay. What did you think about American culture when you were growing up as a youth?
Well, I thought American culture was very good. I feel that America has done a lot, and they try to help their people, and I admire them for all they helped us when we were living in Batoon. I always say, and everybody always say, because you are a Zonian and you born and live in Zone all day. But I said, but you think we should have this like this here in Panama? Why? When the Americans were here? And they said, there she goes. But I live this. So who lives this knows it and feel it. All my years, I lived in America. We never paint house. We never did repair, because we only make a call or fill out a form, send it to maintenance, and everything was done. Not like now. You better. It's a different style of living. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, that this is a different style of living. Completely. And I usually always say, when are we, the Panamanians, are going to do like the Americans? When are we going to follow the Americans? You heard what he said, right? Tell them to go. Yes, I'm experiencing a different style of living, but I'm not adapting myself to it. I'm still, thank God, he's trying to keep my different style of living.
Alright, what qualities, cultural behaviors, or other things do you associate with West Indianness? Or you speak West Indian? What are the things that characterize West Indian?
Well, look, I went to some class in Panama. This lady's name is Edna Cordova. She was strictly, she was a Zonian also, and she kept the line, everything. She always, no, you don't do this. And I feel that a lot of things too that I've learned is because I kept up with her. She was always on the margin. Like, you don't do this, you do that. And I used to go to her soon class, and every year I look forward to the fashion show she had. That was all left of dressmaking. It was quite interesting. Since she died, well, nobody has followed up with me.
So it's like a workshop?
Yes, it's the workshop. English was spoken. And so everybody, you know, we used to have a luncheon, we had a fashion show. We kept up with tradition. Go ahead.
He
says that all day, you know.
That
he does. He's so many times. He said it when he goes.
You wanted to wait till the other teacher came so we could go to the library since the recorder is picking up the kids as well. So that I don't know. Recording again. Okay. Now, how has knowing English affected you, whether positively or negatively?
Knowing English positively.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I went to school first in Cologne, and I just quoted because I've never spoken Spanish. And then I went to Rainbow City High School, I got deeper. I was very, very happy. And I keep, every time there's a course or anything in English, I try to get it because you never know enough. And I always like verbs. I was worried about if I used the right verb, if I did not, and you know.
Yeah, definitely. Now, tell me a little bit more about Rainbow City. After you lived, what age did you move to Rainbow City?
I moved to Rainbow City in 1966. I think I was 10 years old.
And what do you remember? Everybody tells me Rainbow City has changed so much.
A whole lot.
What was it like before?
First, to begin with, where I came from in Zoom, oh, that was beautiful. I always remembered in Gatun, you never used keys for offices. Everybody's door was always open, you could go at anybody. Imagine when I lived in Gatun, the neighbor took care of me because my mother worked. And my grandmother had all my other children, and she took me because she had four boys. So people usually say, well, why are you always such a lady that raised you? I say, yes, she raised me. She took me because my mother was working. Not that my mother didn't want me, but there were so many of us. My grandmother was taken care of, and she had four boys. She took me, and it was like nothing, but not today. That was nothing today. And she did a very good job with me because she had four boys, and I was a girl. So I would always remember her.
What was my name?
Elizabeth Powell. Elizabeth Powell.
And that was in Gatun.
In Rainbow City now, when I went to Rainbow City, I was 10 years old and I was in school already. There was very nice also. The houses were so much different to the ones in Gatun. Because in Gatun, the Linda, we did not like, we would have four families on one building or some buildings had five families like that. But in Rainbow City, it was just two families. And that was so different because it was bigger and more space and everything. And the people were very nice. Everybody kept to themselves, but they were reserved. They weren't like in Gatun. You go to my house and I come to your house and you could go into my house as you like. In Rainbow City, it was more a closed door. Every family tried to keep to themselves. And people were quite friendly to meet people. And at school, you meet the other people and things like that. And Rainbow City was very clean, very nice. The buildings were always painted. There was nothing out of order because you could always call, this is happening in the house, and maintenance would be right there to take care of it. Clean, the grass nicely cut, the concrete washed. They had diamond, they had to come and buff the floors. You know, we got everything. I'm telling you, the American, they treated us good in comparison to Cologne. And school was very nice. The school was always clean. We had all books, everything.
Now, was there any gold roll, silver roll at all?
Gold roll yeah. was the white people, and the silver roll was the black.
And so that applied to commissaries and things.
And the commissary was the same. That's the only thing, the right. discrimination.
Right, right, right.
But that played a big role. But we still got a lot of benefits. We were benefited very much, even in the jobs. Children from Margarita High School or Apostolo High School would get the bigger jobs, and we would get the lower ones, but we still got them for life.
Margarita used to be the...
Gold Roll, Margarita, Cocosolo, Cocoli, all those places, Brassos, Hives, Silver, all Gold Roll.
Okay, and the Silver Roll towns
was
were...
Rainbow City, Camp Coiner, Camp Beard, Rainbow City, Camp Coiner, Camp Beard, Paraiso, and from the other side, yes.
Okay. I know the ones of Panama City.
Yeah.
I don't know as much
yes.
about this.
Rainbow City, Margarita. Have you Rainbow City, Camp Coiner, Camp Beard? Those were the three.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Now, I can't remember. You told me, are you married? Or?
No, I'm not.
And you mentioned you did not have any children.
No, I don't have any children. I raised two, but they're my brother and my cousin. Because my mom got sick after she had my cousin. My aunt got sick after she had my cousin. So I had them both.
Okay. And now in school you have many children. That's why I thought we were ready. Those are my children. And, now, do you have family who live overseas? And if so, where do
yes,
they live?
I have a cousin, Melida. She lives in New Jersey. My brother lives in Pennsylvania. I have two set of families in Brooklyn. I have in Atlanta, I have in Miami, and California.
Alright, great. Now, when they come to Panama, those family members who live in the U.S. and different states, do Panamanians treat them as if they were more American or more Panamanian? How do people see them?
I think they see them the same because they come natural, you know. They come natural and no ears or anything, and the same people that they knew, they're, you know, faces. And so I think they still see them as Panamanians.
Most of them went when they were already adults or when they were young?
Some when they were adults and some when they were young. I went once in 72 after I graduated in 1972. I went to the States with the intention not to come back. But then I didn't like
it. So how long did you stay?
I stayed 6 months. I miss my mom when I came back.
Have you ever lived anywhere else? In addition to Panama and the 6 months in the States, have you ever traveled?
No, I travel all the time.
Where have you traveled to, just for visits?
Well, I go to New York. I have residence, so I've been trying to keep up with it, going back every 6 months, but it's not something I go. I have a hard time. I tried once for American citizen, and they said I didn't stay long enough in the country, so I was detected. And now my cousin is telling me, try again. She wanted me to try before Obama won, and I didn't fill out the papers.
Why before Obama won?
She said, try because Obama will win and then you'll be just dead. This voting time, they'll ask. They want more people and then you vote for Obama. But because of the time, you know, working here, and I have the funds. I messed it up, but I'm going to try again. I guess with Obama, now I'm going to try again. My father wanted me to naturalize before he died, But that's when I got the turn it down, because everything was okay, but because I didn't stay long enough in the country, out of the country too. I used to go in every year at that time. You're living in the canal zone and you have resume, you go every year. And I used to go every year, but then now it's 6 months, and when I go every 6 months, I have to go there. Before the 28th of this month, I have to go in.
Wow. Now, when you go, when you do, you travel often to the U.S., but what is your experience there in general, and what do people know about Panamanians or West Indian Panamanians when you go to different parts of the U.S.?
Oh, well, they talk a lot about our culture. They talk a lot about our holidays, our food, and the way we dress. They like something. I would do one of those pollera looking dresses that you people wear. Like them. They like it. Well, I need dresses also. And they claim that when they come to Panama, so things are different. I like it. That, you know.
And these are mostly your family members and close friends, or other people that you
know? Other people that I meet, you know, whenever they ask you about Panama, and I want you to tell them. And some of my families, their kids born over there, so they don't really know much about them. But when they come and they see, especially the children see the stores, they can't believe you can just run to a store, just keep going.
Yeah, so that's good. Your family, the younger generations that were born in the States, they come to visit us.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Now we're almost done. Is there any specific message you would like to communicate to the younger generations of the community?
I would like to tell them to think more about their own life and see what they can do with it. Education. They need to advance, get into education, to learn something, because apparently, like, they're being taught these things, but they're not valuing. To look about their values. You know, the principles. They're letting the principles go down. We need to, whether it's the parents or the older people, need to do something for the younger people. Because what the things that I see that they're doing now and they can do now, I couldn't do those things. I couldn't even go certain places. I couldn't talk the way I see some of them talk to their grandparents. And I think something is wrong. I don't know whether it's in the school or if it's at home. Which some of them are getting good training from home, but they're not thinking and they're not using it. Some of them, I feel, they know what's wrong, but they seem to want to be part of the celebration. So they do also. But something is definitely wrong with this generation. And I'm not blaming them, I'm not blaming me or anybody or the parents. Something has gone wrong somewhere. Because here in Panama, what I'm seeing now, I've never seen it before or heard it. This is a complete different era. The values, they don't have values anymore. I see grandparents partying with children. I never saw that. That's so strange to me. You had your limit. You go to church with your family. You have to go to church. But there's no, you must do this. Apparently, like, those things are going out. They're not the values. Nobody's thinking about the other person's welfare. Nobody cares about anybody. As I told you, a lady on the building where my mother was. Where my grandmother was, four families, and she kept me. Nobody isn't doing that for free anymore. The money that people are paying to care for children. We're losing our values, our love for each other. We're not
extending that open arm and love as a friend,
as
no exchange. I think we need to go back. And when we get to this point where we are now, stop, go back again. Because further on is not what we really need. We need something need to be done in the country. Changes, we need changes. And good. Okay, this school is more, they try to have an image of schools in New York, which is good because the children are learning science and they're learning to respect each other. But then when they go out there, hey, what's out there is waiting on them. So then when they go out there, they have to make their own decision. And when they have to make that decision, that if I do this, they're going to say, if it's a boy, they're going to say, I'm a girl. But something we need to do, and I would like to read it somewhere or learn it somewhere that I can teach somebody. Because something is lacking. Children are not going to do, you know, need to go to some school after class here. I don't even know why I'm teaching anybody anything now. I used to go to some school after. That's where I really learned to sew. Who didn't like someone with ear dressing? Who didn't like that when home economics? Something, but you have to go and learn something after, but not now. All the parents are thinking is buy the child the most expensive thing, buy them a computer, buy them, oh, I'm gonna buy my daughter a computer because I'm gonna buy her daughter one. You're not teaching her anything. Where are the values? Where are they going? It's slipping through our fingers, passing in front of our face, and we're not doing anything. That's what we need to do. I agree.
Something has to be done. I think first we should start with love. Because you have a person with love in your heart, then you can share. If you don't have love in your heart, what can you share?
Very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in conclusion, is there any other information you would like to include that I have not asked about?
Yes, but you know what? We live in Gatuna. I had neighbors, like for instance, Canterbury was called it. And they come. You don't have to sit and pull it. No, nobody over here. We chose yet for portable. Everybody eat. Where is that love? Where has it gone? You pull your children into your apartment and you feed them. You don't care if a neighbor child eat or not. It doesn't matter to you. You don't care. You just don't. No love. One for another. And that's the fire that I think we have to get into the atmosphere, get into the world, and talk about it, on aging. Is it the television, is it the computer? No, it's what they hear and what they see and what they are learning. We need to learn to love each other a bit more. Care for each other, and then probably we can see the changes.
Because once you have that, anything that comes at you, you know how to deal with it, but
mm-hmm.
you know how to recognize what's right and what's wrong.
What's right and wrong? There's no right or wrong now, it's a part that you just do anything that you feel like. Born stupid is in me, I don't want to be in jail, but the part that you say that's where they want to be. Love and the values on the whole. they're seeing and they're looking, but they're still closing their eyes. They're blind to it. It means nothing to them. So where is the love from your heart for somebody?
And as you said, that as a sign of love, I want to have any one person that follows the overall.
That's happening everywhere.
Just
the country, not everywhere. People pass you the bones and nobody says sorry. You hand them something, they just take it. Like something you have to do, no thank you.
It's very, very sad.
Very sad, but we are the ones who need to do something. Something has to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to be pushed to it because things in the world are getting much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to, you know, survive that kind of situation is to really start loving each other.
Each other, no one cares for each other.
That's all we need to do.
And then you will see some sort of changes or something. Very sad.
Alright. Well, if there isn't anything else, we're finished with the last question. And I want to thank you again for participating. And we have my card. Feel free to contact me anytime. You know, if you're going to add, change, or think of someone else, or anything else.
Okay.
Alright.
Mm-hmm.